Our Sunday school lesson this morning, Hezekiah, the good saint, the good king. Stuttering a little this morning. Too much cups of coffee, I think. I got up early this morning, done been through about two pots of coffee, but hallelujah, I'm good to go. Does anybody know who was Hezekiah's father? Who he's the son of? He's Ahaz. Ahaz was his father. And Ahaz did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But Hezekiah, he's the opposite of his father. And it's noted that he did that, our first verse. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Our last lesson was on the fall and the captivity of Israel. But I want you to remember that the lesson in front of that was the death of Elisha. And that happened after the leadership of the great prophet Elisha, Israel fell and went into captivity. And now you've got the opportunity here for them to rise back up. Now they've got Hezekiah, and he's the good king. Our golden text is Psalms 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And Israel, they had this blessing of this good king to lead them. We do need good leadership. The Bible tells us to pray for them that are in authority. And no matter how you feel about our government, I do know one thing. We need to pray for them. And I wish they would do right. I wish they could do right. Either way, we need to pray for them. But God's service, it's not hard service as some suppose it to be. And there are compensations, great compensations, and advantages, even enjoyment to the godly over the ungodly. And in this case, we've got Hezekiah, and he's a notable example. The Bible said he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. Now this is their king. And he kept the commandments of the Lord. And I like this part. And the Lord was with him. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And that divine blessing rested upon all that he did. God prospered him in all of his works. It does make a difference when you do right. And when he seemed at the point of death, the miraculous recovery from his sickness, when God added 15 years to his life, and God postponed a judgment also, and granted to him that that judgment would not fall in his days. And they did have to deal with that judgment. But also when an overwhelming calamity seemed about to fall upon him and Israel to crush the nation, the catastrophe was averted by a miracle, and the Assyrian host was destroyed. And, you know, they escaped that destruction. Exceeding much riches and honor were given to him. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 27. But the principles of God's action that are displayed here, they don't change. One thing you remember about God, He said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if we examine human life, even at present day, we still find as a general rule that if men will cleave to the Lord and keep His commandments and not depart from following Him, there will be with them a more or less blessings and prosperity. And I'll tell you, it's a good lesson. The latter part of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, so let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And for God to bring every work into judgment, whether it be evil or whether it be good. But this is a good lesson. Again, a practical lesson. When I say practical, we're to practice this in our home. We're to practice this in our country. We need to do what Hezekiah did. The Bible said he clave to the Lord and he departed not from following the Lord. He kept the commandments of the Lord and the Lord was with him. Our first verse here, if you want to open up your Bible, if you don't have a Sunday school book, is 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3. And it's talking about Hezekiah. And it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. And such praise is attributed only to two other kings of Judah. One of them's Asa, and the other one's Josiah. And Hezekiah brought under the influence of Elisha the prophet, but his father Ahaz was a wicked king. And, you know, he kind of turned out exceptional, even with a father like his, Ahaz was. And he, under the influence of Elisha, he was more likely to do all that lay in his power to turn Israel from sin to God. Listen what he did here. And notice this, that he done these things. I'm glad this is in the Bible. Now, when you've got a godly leader, and I'll be careful here, notice he removed the Nancy Pelosi's, the Harry Reid's, the Sodomites. But I want you to know something. He was in a position of power. And in that position, he done right. He removed the high places, break the images. For those of you that don't know, I will clarify this. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are members of Communists in America. That's not common knowledge. You're not going to find that out on CNN or nothing. But they're in prominent positions. They got put in there. And the reason they got put in there is for the destruction of this country that we've been blessed so many years called America. And I truly do want God to bless America. But there are some circumstances, those blessings. And you don't put a woman like Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, they could care less about you or this country because she's a communist in America and she's not, this is not no secret. I mean, she wants to keep it one, but it's not no secret. And Harry Reid also, which is also a member of communists in America, they just ought not be sold. So I just want you to understand there's some things that need to be removed. And Hezekiah saw fit and he removed these high places which were idols and he broke the images. They cut down the groves. All this is false worship. And not only that, he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now that was a godly thing that ended up being an ungodly thing. For under those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it. They worshipped that brazen serpent that Moses had made. And he called it Nehushtan. And he had to remove that, even though it was a godly thing. God told Moses, make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, picturing Christ. And when those fiery serpents came, whoever was bit by a fiery serpent, all he had to do was look at that brazen serpent, and if he looked, he could live. And the Bible says Christ like that, look to him and live. And I think it's Numbers chapter 21, where that's mentioned it there. But Jesus notably made a reference to that. John chapter number 3. And he told, Numbers 21 verse 8. But he told Nicodemus, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And the same principle, look and live. Simple. Look at that brazen serpent and live, or don't look and die. Look to Jesus and live. Or don't look and die. It's pretty simple. But Hezekiah showed determination. He showed he was determined to serve God. That's important. He wasn't a politician. He did not leave any doubt as to which side he's on. I don't know if you noticed this or not, and I'm not trying to be ugly here, but we've got people that speak out of both sides of their mouth. And what that means is when there's Christians around, they say, I'm pro-life. Hey, I'm pro-life. But when ain't Christians around, they say, I'm for gay rights, and I'm for, abortion, all that stuff right there. But they speak out of both sides of their mouth. But Hezekiah left no doubt as to which side he was on. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now you take someone like Sarah Palin. And I'm just using her for example. I guess I'm meddling this morning, but don't hold it against me. But she's a true Christian. She's a true patriot. She loves her Lord. She loves her country. And the first thing they did, they crucified her. Even people that are really conservatives crucified her. And the reason they did is because she'd make them look bad. So nobody wanted to get Sarah Palin in the White House, even though she would have been the best thing for our country. And they've done the same thing with Rick Perry. They crucified him. And I'm just trying to tell you, this thing's kind of etched in stone. The world loves her own. But anyway, Hezekiah, he left no doubt as to whose side he was on. That's good to have a leader that you know what he stands for. Now, when you got someone, and I hate to throw mud, but when you got someone like Nancy Pelosi that talks about Obamacare, she says you'll know what's got in it after you sign it. I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist. I mean, I want to read what I'm signing. Sign me a check, Howard. I mean, you know what I mean? Read what you're signing. Know what you're doing. She said you'll find out what's in it after you sign it. That don't make no sense. No matter where you look at it. But that's kind of the propaganda. That's kind of the way they appropriate things. Anyway, he left no doubt as to which side he was on. In the very first year of his reign, he didn't waste no time neither. In the first month of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord. Now, his father had closed them, and he opened them. I like that kind of king. And also, he repaired them. And as soon as the temple was in proper order, he caused the priests and the Levites, which were to be over the worship, to commence at once the public service to God. And then in the second month, he issued a proclamation inviting the people to come to Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the house of the Lord. And what a time of rejoicing that was. Now, we could have that too. But unfortunately, it comes at a price. And then, everybody ain't as jubilant as maybe you or I am. But when they did do it, it was a time of rejoicing. And when the Passover was finished, the people went out in all the cities of Judea, and they break down all the images into pieces, and they cut down all the groves, and they threw down all the high places and altars until they had utterly destroyed them all. And I say, glory, hallelujah. I wish we could see some of that in our day. But also, another noteworthy act of Hezekiah was the breaking into pieces, the brazen serpent that Moses made. And they took something sacred and made it sacrilege. And what that means is it became a snare to them, and they saw it as something other than what it intended to be. All it was a picture of Christ, but it wasn't Christ. Let that just sink in just a minute. See, there ain't no substitute for Jesus. But when people try to substitute something for Jesus, and they say, take this wafer, it's a type or a substitutary of Christ. You see what I mean? There are some things you can't substitute. Some things need to be destroyed. But we've come down to a day and time when the Bible says, take heed that no man deceive you. Many will say, I'm Christ, or he's there, or he's there. Listen, I know exactly where he is. Talk to him this morning, Carolyn. Hallelujah. Well, this thing had become sacrilege. It was originally sacred, and it became a snare and a temptation to them. And the worship of it was an abomination, and it became a relic of worship. And that which had been ordained by God Himself for a blessing was now misused and became a curse. And that's going on in our day and time. If you knew much, I'd elaborate on it. I really want to get through this lesson, so we'll go right on. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him, this is noteworthy, there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And some kings had truly trusted, but not with so entire a heart. Some have been obedient, but not so fully. And some have been faithful, but not as faithful as Hezekiah. And he had the better record. And God put special honor on wholehearted service. And it's recorded. But also note this, it also recorded that Hezekiah was not perfect. So let's not get him too high. And the Bible said not to put no confidence in man. And even in Hezekiah, if I could have him here this morning, he'd say, "Don't look to me, look to Jesus." But he really set the standard high. Verse 6 said, He clave to the Lord and departed not from following Him, kept His commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. Hezekiah set before him one great aim, and that was to please God. And he made up his mind. Boy, you know, I'm persuaded that the devil can't do nothing with a made up mind. Somebody wrote a song, said, "Ain't got time for you, devil." And that'd be a good way to have an attitude about serving God. Just not have no time for the devil. Not to give no place to him or the flesh. But Hezekiah set his aim, and his aim was to please God. He made up his mind he's going to live for God and stay close to God. And I'll tell you what, the devil have his work cut out for him if we'll have that same kind of mind. And he knew that to please God, he must also keep the commandments of God. He didn't dispute the commandments nor the wisdom of God. And this is one of the best evidences of true faith and real trust in God. And we may not see the reason for a commandment of God, but let us always obey it. Now, I tell my kids sometimes things that, you know, they don't see it like I see it. And maybe you did too. And they didn't put much stock in what you said. They went ahead and did it and ended up paying the price for it. And they ended up saying, "I wish I'd listened to you." Well, that's kind of the way God is. You may not see the reason for one of the commandments of God, but you need to obey it and trust God. And Hezekiah trusted in God, and that trust molded his character. It was a product of his living for God. It was one of the things that molded him. And Hezekiah received a letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now, this right here, you know, the Bible said all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Well, here comes some persecution. Here's a man wholeheartedly living for God, setting a standard, the aim high. And right in the middle of that, here come the Assyrians. They sent a letter, and that letter was a threatening letter. And Hezekiah took that letter, went up to the house of the Lord, and spread it out before the Lord. Now, Assyria at this time was a nation of warriors. And Sennacherib, their king, with an immense army, he took city after city until there was little left of Hezekiah but Jerusalem. Hezekiah, you know, he tried the diplomatic means. Our country, we've come down to day and time. I heard one of the old-time veterans speak this week on Veterans Day. And he said back then, he said we had a different kind of war than we got now. He said back then it was kill the enemy. He said now it's try to negotiate with the enemy. He said we done the work, come home, and the work was done. But he said now we got continuing wars because we're trying to negotiate. Well, Hezekiah, he tried to buy off these invaders with tribute. And he stripped the gold plating from the temple doors. And also he spoiled his palace, took all the riches, and he gave them all to Sennacherib. But Sennacherib, this Assyrian king, he did not give up his warlike intentions, and he continued to threaten Jerusalem. You can't make peace with the devil, and I know people try to. I've heard all kind of tales. But this time, Hezekiah acted differently at this threat. And the mistake of rashly yielding to difficulties is a lesson we all need to learn. And if we yield to our difficulties, they will return again with renewed force. And Sennacherib is a picture of that. And he sends this letter, and it's a letter of warning. And in that letter, he warned Hezekiah not to be deceived and trusting in Jehovah. And he expanded his threat in the proof of all of the victories and the might of the Assyrians, how they just keep mowing these cities down. No one could withstand them. And they had four recent conquests and victories. And when Hezekiah received this insulting letter, he went into the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. But Carolyn, he did as what we should do with all our troubles. He carried it straight to God in prayer. Does anybody know what Psalms 46 verse 1 says? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. There will be times of trouble. We're not home. This ain't even close to home. Or we're closer than when we started, but we ain't there yet. But until we get there, there'll be Sennacherib's. There'll be all kind of letters and threatenings and stuff. But Hezekiah, he done something we need to do with our troubles. He carried this letter straight to God in prayer. And God in truth already knows all that we have need of before we even ask Him. But also He compels us to ask Him and to come to Him, and we should come to Him and present our petitions. God knew what was in this letter before Hezekiah ever brought it, before he ever spread it out. But Hezekiah placed it before Him. And the basis of this action is prayer. And he honored God by bringing him into this situation. Men are probably more guilty than women in this matter, because us men, we think, man, we can roll up our sleeves and somehow or another we can make it work. We can somehow make it happen. Somehow or another, you know, we can by some means make it. But women, the Bible said that they're a weaker vessel. I think, this may be not true, but I think women depend more upon God than men do. I think women many times, men probably don't know about this, slip off somewhere and weep before God and say, Lord, we need some help. My husband don't understand, and my home don't understand. But I tell you what, buddy, Hezekiah here showed something. He honored God by bringing these troubles to God. And he honored Him by saying, Lord, I need some help. Verse 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech Thee, save Thou us out of His hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord God, even Thou only. And Hezekiah, he prays, and his prayer is a prayer of vengeance upon this. It was really an insult and threat. I mean, Sennacherib, he's a bully. And he's saying, you can't stop me. There ain't nothing you can do. And it kind of to Hezekiah's advantage that he put it that way, because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But the vindication of God's honor among the nations of the earth also Hezekiah brought out, that it might be known far and wide that Jehovah is a God who can help. Now, he's pretty smart there. He used some wisdom here. He said that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord God, even Thou only. And that gave God more reason to honor this prayer. And Hezekiah prayed, as he's praying, Isaiah was by divine revelation made aware of this prayer. And scarcely had he finished praying before God sent the prophet to him with assurances of immediate and complete deliverance. Now, don't miss this next verse. And it came to pass, my favorite words in the Bible, Carolyn, that night, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. No sooner was the promise given than the destroying angel received orders. That night, the terrible stroke fell. How great in power might one angel, one night, could make so great a slaughter. But also how weak the mightiest of men are before Almighty God. Whoever hardens himself against God will not prosper. But I want you to know, God didn't send no army, Carolyn. He sent one angel. And in one night, 100, listen to this, 100, 4 score, 185,000 people didn't wake up. Now that's, it's kind of hard to ignore that. When you got they just covered the whole hillside. So great an army, and yet 185,000 didn't get up. 185,000 were corpses the next morning. Then, boy, it's a real blessing. And then you got here in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And, I don't really understand everything about God. I just know one thing. I'm supposed to trust Him no matter whether the Syrians or Sennacherib's coming or sickness or whatever. But the devil, in those days, Hezekiah was sick, and he wasn't just sick, he was sick unto death. And again, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now here's a man come to him, and he could have healed him. We're talking Elijah, the prophet. But yet the prophet Elijah told him, he said, "You're going to die. You're not going to live. You're going to die." And I'm sure that King Hezekiah didn't want to hear that. I don't know about you, but if I'm on my deathbed, I don't want you to come in there and say, "Brother Eddie, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to live." I want you to come in and say, "Brother Eddie, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying God to be merciful to you and recover you from this sickness." But I want you to know this wasn't good news. And he didn't sugarcoat it. He said, "You're going to die and you're not going to live." And it appears that he was smitten with terminate death. That means, buddy, you got so long to write your will, to hug the next, to tell those that you love them, you'll see them in heaven. And it wasn't a pleasant thing that Elisha said to Hezekiah. But he's commanded to set his house in order, to dispose of all of his affairs, or in other words, make out his will, because death is at hand. And the whole relationship of death to life is changed in a matter like this right here. But also it's changed by Christ. For the first time, life and immortality were brought to light. In this earth, we're just sojourning down here. I mean, the old song says, "Maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Someone will be called out to face eternity, and I don't know, and you don't know who the next will be." I just know one thing. You could be looking at a preacher that may, for the 40 days I'm with, be in heaven. I may be looking at you, 40 days I'm with. You may be in heaven. But I do know one thing. The Bible says, "Depart, be of Christ, it's far better." Amen. But this frail life, these frail bodies, this weak flesh, we got to deal with it till we get that glorified body, that heavenly tabernacle. Down here, buddy, David said it's but a step between me and death. That's about the way it is. But earth is a mere sojourning place for those who are here as strangers and pilgrims upon it. That's you and me. Because down here we have no continuing city. The joys of heaven are planted in our heart, and men are told down here that the eye have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But to the true Christian, death has lost all terror. And the desire to depart and be with Christ, Paul said, is far better, Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. But I want you to know what Hezekiah did when he got this death sentence delivered to him. Now listen, the Bible said when a prophet says something, if it don't come to pass, he's a false prophet. So here's the greatest prophet there is in his day, Elijah. I mean, he's not a secondary. I mean, he's the greatest prophet. And he said, "You're going to die and not live." Turn around and walked off. He's real compassionate. But I want you to know what Hezekiah did, Carolyn. Verse 2 said he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord, saying, Now what that means is he turned his back to all those that were standing by his bedside. He turned to God and said, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. I didn't really care too much for what was just told me. And he turned to the wall to pray with more earnestness and more concentration. And this was natural for Hezekiah. And his prayers one of distress and affliction, and to take his trouble straight to God. And he learned what to do when trouble comes. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he said, I've learned. Whatsoever state I'm in, therewith be content. There's some things we'll learn. You ain't going to find them nowhere but in the house of God, in the Word of God, and walking with God. But there's some things that we need to learn. We need to learn what to do when trouble comes. Now, if you're not careful, if you don't learn what to do, you can make some terrible mistakes, and even Christians make mistakes, and the greatest ones make it just as many as the weakest ones do. But he knew what to do when trouble came. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, he said, but you've not so learned in Christ. I know what to do. I know which direction to run in. I know who to run to. I know what I'm supposed to do. And that's what Hezekiah is showing us here. He's showing us what to do when situations like this come to your doorstep. And I'm going to comment on it a little more here in just a minute. I know people will be listening to this by way of the internet. And this lesson's a practical application lesson. It's one that we can take home with us. It's one that we can apply. But he prays, and his prayers recorded in the Word of God. And his prayer is, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, if you want to get God's attention, put some tears on your words. He said in the book of Psalms, he said, I've seen your tears. I've bottled up your tears. I want you to know the Bible said that he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You're not going to get much prayer through to God coming up here chewing and popping bubble gum and laughing. But I want you to know, buddy, we got a high priest entered into heaven himself, Ephesians 4, verse 14 through 16, that's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, who in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. And he knew how to get a hold of God. And the Bible said that he didn't just pray, but the Bible said he wept sore. And in Hezekiah's prayer, really there's no self-righteousness here. He just is really just saying that I've lived for you, God. I've honestly endeavored to serve you and to do all that you've asked of me. And whatever shortcomings that he might have had, he said, my heart's always been right towards you. And then he asked the question, why is he to be cut off in the midst of his days at the age of 39? Now the Bible said in Psalms 55 verse 22, it says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Now the Bible tells us man's days are 70. That's 70. And if by strength 80, that's 80. And there Hezekiah is. He's right in the middle. And he wants to know why he's being cut off in the midst of his days. And he's fairly young here. He's only 39. He ain't even made it to 40. When some of the wicked kings had lived much older, he's wondering, you know, why? It's okay to ask God why. Jesus on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And under the old covenant, the length of days was expressly promised to the righteous, and that a shortened life was a proclaimed penalty for living wickedly. And Hezekiah is just asking an honest question, Lord, why am I being cut off? I've lived right. I've lived righteous, God, and soberly. And he sort of... We're headed there as hard as we can go. And he's kind of got favor here. He's actually got something to stand on here. And he's sort of laying to God's mind about the promises of God that should be his. Look here at verse 4. Hallelujah. Here again, and it came to pass, and I'm glad those words are in the Bible. It came to pass afore Elijah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came unto him saying, I'm going to go ahead and read this next part. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. I want you to know, buddy, when you're on good ground, you can pray, and your prayers will get heard, amen? He got through to heaven, amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But here Elijah, he hadn't gone no further than into the middle court when he was given a command to turn around and go back. And Hezekiah, he obtained mercy both as David's son and also as David's imitator. And there's not a cry, nor a groan, nor a tear, not a sigh of God's faithful ones to which the heart of God's not open and which does not touch him and move him to draw forth of his sympathy. And he doesn't always grant our prayers. Now let me just stop real quick. I've been telling y'all for quite some time about this letter. I got it email from a missionary. I want to share this with you right now. Rodney Fitzsimmons, he's a missionary to Hades. And this email's about Kemp Chariot. Now Kemp Chariot, he and two other people were shot while they were having Bible study. And two of them died immediately. But Kemp's Chariot, he lived a little while. But listen to this letter. I like the way, I know Brother Roddy Fitzsimmons personally. I've been in many services with him, but I like the way he wrote this letter. Listen to this. We received word this evening that Brother Kemp is doing better than ever. He's now with the Lord. We will miss him, but look forward to seeing him again. Paul said, we're confident, I say it, willing rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And again in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said, for I'm in a strait between two, having desired part to be with Christ, which is far better. Listen to this. It was Brother Kemp's desire to know the Lord better that brought him to the Bible study, and now he's enjoying the Lord's presence and will be there with him forever. But he said, also pray for his family and for the family of the other two that were killed at the time of the attack, because they were his cousins, Brother Roddy and Sister Kathy Fitzsimmons. I like the way he put that. He said he's doing better than ever. He said he's with the Lord. That's about as good as it gets. Amen. Now I know down here, you know, that don't process in our mind, but I'll promise you this, 1 second in heaven, you'll say, phew. Man, the stuff in this present time ain't even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. But God doesn't always, and we had been praying for this man to live. We had received the email to pray for him that he would survive this attack and live. And God had something better in mind for that brother right there. But Hezekiah's earnest, faithful prayer was one that was, as all should be, effectual. And here's what God told him. He said, you tell him that I will add unto his days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. God done exceedingly abundantly above all that Hezekiah act, and he does the same thing for us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God grants him 15 additional years, which more than doubled the length of his reign. And he also promised him victory over the Assyrians. And one thing about God, it's in his power to give you length of days or shorten of days. The Bible said in Acts 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Now, this part here is the other part I wanted to put in here. Please listen to me right here. This is real important. It says, and Elijah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the bowl, and he recovered. Now, this is kind of a medical procedure here involved in this sickness of Hezekiah, and it might have actually had something to do with his healing. And it is our duty. Now listen to me, I'm your brother. I'm certainly not I'm not anything, but listen to me with regards to this. It's our duty when we're sick to make use of such means available to help us in our sickness. Now, when I say that, I want to give you an example. I heard on the radio this week about an 11-year-old girl that her parents, and they had more faith than I do, but they had faith in God to believe their daughter would be healed, and they did not give her any help or take her to any doctor. An 11-year-old girl died from something as simple as diabetes. I mean, it would have been something simple. My wife's diabetic. And this month, we'll be married 38 years. Maybe some of you know something about diabetes. But an 11-year-old girl needlessly died. And I commend the mom and dad for faith, but they acted foolishly. You know, the Bible talks about God giving the herb for the service of men. That's medicine. And God does give medicine. He gives doctors. And He gives all kinds. He's more than able to heal, do everything. But also, there was something here that Elisha done, and it was a medical procedure. And I hope we don't do what the parents done with that 11-year-old girl. That was a tragedy, it was to me. And, it may have crippled her faith. I don't know. I know one thing, that little girl is kind of like that guy that was shot, that missionary letter. She ain't never been no better, Sophia. I'm telling you, 11-year-old goes straight to heaven. Hallelujah. But it's kind of sad because she never got to live her days down here. But Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign?" Now, he's a Jew. The Bible said the Jews require signs. So get this. I mean, he's just a Jew. That's what they do. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that He has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It's a right thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and He brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards. Now the only way to do that, that's for either the earth to turn backwards or the sun to be moved, because that's where the shadow came from, the position of the earth to the sun. And that, matter of fact, that sundial was put up by his father Ahaz. And anyway, God showed Himself to be God in the healing of Hezekiah, in the adding of 15 years to Hezekiah, but also in the returning of the shadow of the sundial. But I'll tell you what, we just serve a mighty God. That's a tremendous Sunday school lesson. I hope you take that lesson to heart, because you'll get in one of them Hezekiah situations. You'll have the Assyrians down on you. You'll have sickness upon you. You'll have troubles more than you know what to shake a stick at. But I'm glad we've got a Savior on the throne at the right hand of God, and all power is given unto Him, and all He's got to do is speak the word, and it's a done deal. Amen. All right.
He had a good name. Or did fifth verse there?
Yeah.
Unlike him ever was, or wasn't ever.
That's right. That's right. God gave him that, gave him that attribute, and that's in the Word of God. And I promise you this: there are books written about you and about me up there in heaven. There's a book, and that book's called the Book of Eddie Wade. Since Eddie Wade was born, February 20th, 1954, under this day, there have been detailed records about all the things that Eddie Wade did. I'm glad there's a turning place in that book. April 27th, 1988, when it says Eddie Wade has been forgiven, Eddie Wade has been adopted in the family of God, Eddie Wade is now Son of God, and I like him page of Maryland out. Them others, I'm glad, praise God, the blood of His Son Jesus blots out all them ordinances that have been wrote against me, all them sins that I committed, all them things I should have never done. I'm glad they've been blotted out by the blood. Amen.
I bet here's people say it. Get his house out of there. What that meant?
Right.
Get it, like you said, the will,
man.
Get it
together. Yeah,
he done had it.
Yeah. Yeah, Hezekiah, he never done nothing wrong. And even, even though you don't do anything wrong, good things still happen. I mean, bad things still happen to good people. I didn't say that right. Let me stop this thing right here. Let's see.